What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. It's the Fightful Select Q&A show. For July 5th, 2024, it's a big week. We are fresh off of Forbidden Door. We've got WWE Money in the Bank coming up. Lots of stuff. Remember, if your question doesn't get answered, it doesn't mean that you wasted it. It means that we are on our way to getting the answer for you there. Any news on a Keith Lee return in the future? I have not heard any progress, but with Dijak on the open market, I think they would make a very, very good team. Any update on how Kenny Omega is doing? Not expected back in the coming months or anything like that. He did have the surgery in order to check and see how things are progressing. This was something that was completely unforeseen. But knowing Kenny, he's got to heal up, get in shape, then get in ring shape as well. Do you think WWE will do a Clash of the Castle in Ireland? If so, when? Probably, you know, next year, year after, something like that. Whenever Becky is back is when I think that they will do one in Ireland. Any update on Raquel Rodriguez? Yeah, they thought that she was sort of better off when she came back around Elimination Chamber and she made that return. And then she had a flare-up that weekend of her condition and has been sidelined ever since. Sending our love to Raquel Rodriguez because, man, she's just pleasant, man. She's always great to do media with and always really, really nice. With that MXM vignette on ROH last night, is there going to be a more determined effort on that brand? At least from what I've heard, because I had considered shelving the ROH post-show. We just brought SP3 on, and that probably honestly saved it because it had been a bunch of enhancement matches. And I was told, you know, maybe don't do that yet. Maybe give it a little bit and see how things develop, because from what one person I spoke to understood, there was going to be more of a concentrated effort on that. Now, that could just be them saying that, but I guess we'll see. Any update on when Tegan Nox will appear at SmackDown? Well, she was there last week. I don't know why she wasn't used, but she was there last week. Any update on Adam Cole's injury status? For a while, people that I talked to were afraid that he might have to have like a second surgery or another surgery or something like that, because I know that for a while when he would appear on TV, maybe there was some fluid built up or something like that. Yeah, I think that he is finally on the road to recovery, but it's been a long, long wait. Matthew Hamm said, any update on Malachi's contract? You said a little bit of time, and I remembered he was out for 2 months last year due to injury. Does his contract expire in September now? Not from what I heard. I think it's got a little bit more time on it than that as a result of some absences and stuff, but I'm working on definitely getting that down. How scripted are WWE promos now? Do wrestlers have more input and are given bullet points, or does it depend on the talent? They're still scripted, but there's definitely a lot more input. Anybody you hear that says, none of my stuff is scripted, I would be very, very shocked if that were true. There could always be that possibility, but I mean, I have also seen some scripts verbatim of things that we thought were off the cuff and just weren't. Any update on when Julia comes to NXT to face Roxanne? Well, there was some hope and some discussion earlier this year about Heatwave, but Corey Brennan was told by Marigold and NXT sources that that isn't the plan this weekend. Not a question, was wondering if I could get a birthday shout-out to stay as my birthday. Well, happy birthday, by God, Tamala. Happy birthday, Tamala. We hope that you have a good one, and we hope that you spend it with us watching the Money in the Bank post-show. Heard any updates about Jimmy Uso? Just the rumors last week that he was going to pop up, and I heard the rumors. I didn't hear that he was going to pop up, just that. I mean, when he got hurt, I was told it was going to be a while, that it was going to be a while before he came back, and that's why they didn't put him in the draft thing. Brian says, inspired by the Punk stuff, are there levels to being physically cleared in WWE? To use the Punk example, was surprised to read he wasn't cleared after he took a relatively hard-looking bump on the stage off Drew's shoulders. Yeah, I mean, that's why they sort of hid him getting attacked and things like that as well. But there are certain degrees and levels and all that. AEW has a very extensive method as well. So there's an awful lot that goes into stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, it's far different than it was years ago, where things were very, very strict. There is some trust and discretion there as well. Any news on Kota Ibushi? Realistically, will he ever meaningfully contribute in AEW? A Golden Lovers run seems like a long shot at this point. Thanks, SRS. Appreciate your work. I think maybe a collectively, like, late in their careers Golden Lovers run could happen. When Kota Ibushi came back, I had serious questions over how he would perform based on the limit or the extent of the physical issues that I had heard that he had faced. It took him about a year and a half to come back and do the GCW stuff, and then another 3 or 4 months before he did Blood and Guts. And we got a few matches out of him, and he did not look the same. He has not looked the same since he's been back. That Marufuji match isn't just a bad match. It's one of the worst TV matches I've seen in a long, long time. And Kota Ibushi is phenomenal. Now, the AEW stuff that they did, a lot of those tag matches, none of those matches ended up being bad because of a lot of the other ingredients involved. The Janela match was good. The Mike Bailey match was good. But there are some serious things that we had seen out of him that we looked at and we go, well, okay, that's a little bit different than the Kota Ibushi we knew and loved. Even the 5-minute exhibition last week wasn't, like, strong. I hope that we can get that back, but also, you got to remember, the man's 42 years old in general. And, man, it's a shame how things descended. But considering the fact that the tag matches that we saw out of him were pretty decent, and he clearly wasn't 100% then, I have hope that maybe a tag team run could happen down the line. I just want the dude healthy. That's all. Was Cody going to blade in his Mania 39 match against Roman? It seemed like there was a spot where it looked like he was unwrapping his wrist tape. Not that I have ever heard of. Anything on a possible Josh Alexander NXT appearance? Just rumblings and people, you know, discussions and all that stuff. Like I've not heard of any firm plans. Doesn't mean it's not happening. Any thoughts on the future archive? Old TV, old PPVs, old tapes. My favorite part of the service. Where will those go? Well, listen, I mean, they've still got the Peacock deal. That's where the library is right now. They've got that till 2026, but this is a thing that I've mentioned an awful lot about WWE, WWE Network. They were very, very smart with how they did it because they took a very, very short, I don't want to say very, a short-term hit on pay-per-view, and they were like, you know what, here's what we can do. Instead of charging $40, $50, $60 for pay-per-view, we'll charge $10. As a result, we'll get more people in the door. What we'll do there is make it more accessible to see our show. More people will talk about our show, and then hopefully more people end up tuning into our show. Then they added NXT just to that, to add the value, to be like, all right, look, you're getting pay-per-views at a much more affordable price than you were. You're also getting NXT. Oh, by the way, you're getting the library. Oh, by the way, we're doing documentaries. Then what they did was slowly disassemble all that. They relicensed their PLEs and their library to Peacock. So instead of them relying on our money, Peacock relies on our money now, and they get the license fee. Then they took NXT, they licensed that to USA and now CW. So a thing that they weren't getting paid for, they are now getting paid for. They took the documentaries, which were a cost to them to produce, and just added value on that already for value service, and then licensed those to A&E. It was a very, very smart thing for them to do. And then they still retain the rights to their own library. So what they can do is go do this new WWE Vault YouTube channel, which, you know, isn't as organized as it could be. But I mean, it's a YouTube channel that's just meant to run some clips and stuff like that. And they're already going to do incredible numbers off of that because it's WWE related. And I mean, they're sitting at 8.3 million views after, like, what, 2 weeks or something? Like, whatever it is, whoever the person or persons running that is, it's going to pay for their salary as a result because WWE has this robust library. And now they can monetize that library in a more appropriate way. I'll tell you a thing that I think is very smart that WWE has done. A few years ago, you used to see a bunch of copyright claims for WWE stuff, including we got one that messed up our streaming for a while. We just had like WWE SummerSlam show review. And because we had a screenshot from the pay-per-view as our thumbnail, we got copyright claimed, and it was a false copyright claim. They have since went away from a lot of copyright claims because what they want is they want people reacting. They want people putting their clips out there. What they'll just do is they will monetize that for themselves. So it's free promotion that they're getting, and they have, you know, just a plethora of people who will claim that content and send the monetization WWE's way, and they effectively pay for themselves as well. That's why when the AEW thing, I know I'm going off on a tangent here, AEW's copyright situation has long been a mess. And this past week, it was a third-party distributor that got a couple TikToks shut down. They need somebody like WWE has their own people to prevent that. You want people talking about, reacting, and promoting your show. TNA is allowing Twitch and TikTok streamers to just stream their show. Because why not? What could it hurt at this point, you know? Jeffrey says, I've seen live reports about Forbidden Door where they said the crowd was hot the whole show, but it really doesn't come across that way on TV. Is this something AEW is aware of or just internet BS? I think you will find that at an awful lot of shows. I think that that's something that just happens. If you hear a crowd that's kind of dead, you'll always hear people that go, it's loud as hell in here. Like, I mean, I'll give you a good example. WWE, in a production capacity, people there said, yeah, we were piping in boos for the Dominic thing. Regardless of if it was hot live, which it almost always was, they would add stuff on top of it, and it was really hard to tell. In a different sense, you will see an awful lot of crowds where, I mean, how many terrible Corpus Christi crowds have you heard in your life? And then people that were at the show were like, no, it was so loud. It was so loud. Well, obviously it was the last time, but the other times it didn't come across well. There are certain companies that mic their stuff incorrectly or badly. WWE has a blanket layer sound that is over a lot of their show. So a lot of the time when you hear like a little crowd chatter, you can still hear the actual crowd, but there's also a blanket layer that at least has been over that. And that's not something that TNA does. It hasn't been something that AEW does, but I think that they should. But yeah, it all depends on your perception and where you were and all that. It's really hard to tell. It also depends on where you are in the venue. Someone saying, still wanting to know how Mustafa Ali is using his name in TNA in the Indies since his name is still a live registered WWE trademark. My friend, I answered this like 2 or 3 times at this point. He used that name before he went to WWE. He's been using Prince Ali since 2007 and Mustafa Ali since 2008. So if WWE wants to challenge that, they will fail. They will not do well. How much of that Mania doc was Rock revisionist versus legit what happened? I find it hard to believe The Rock is the sole reason for the pivot. I mean, they had been considering pivoting almost immediately, almost by the next day. Honestly, it seemed like there was a lot of truth in that documentary. It was at least reflective of what we posted. What I can tell you is there were not immediate plans for Cody Rhodes. And then within the following days, it was like, well, Punk got hurt, so I guess it'll be Seth. But I've also heard that there were other plans that never, ever emerged. It may never emerge that I'm going to try to find out on. But I mean, of course, The Rock had some sort of say in it. He went from facing Roman Reigns to also being in a tag match. But here's the thing about it. The Rock also had the say in not facing Roman to begin with. So I don't know that there can be a whole lot of credit thrown his way when that's why the mess started. Now, here's what I do want to say. I'm glad all that happened. It was good for our business. It was good for general interest. It got us a great series of WrestleMania matches with stories that have unfolded since then. This was one of the happiest accidents in pro wrestling history. And it wasn't an accident. It was one of the great course corrections in pro wrestling history. That's what I'll say. They did a great job. That Las Vegas stuff was such good business. I went there for that and I was like, okay, will this be worth it? And even before I did the interviews and I saw the way that they played all that out and The Rock leaving with Roman, I said, yeah, this is a good piece of business, man. It was so compelling. It was so good. Who do you have winning each side of the Owen? Bryan Danielson and Mariah May. I think those are the setups. How does talent feel about some of the contract situations that have happened lately? Ricochet not re-signing, Dijak not given a contract, Damian and Chad getting last-minute deals. The last-minute deals thing isn't something that a lot of wrestlers are necessarily over the moon about, but it does give them a lot more leverage and opportunity to sort of shop themselves elsewhere. Dijak, that one is, okay, the way that unfolded is something that wrestlers don't like because he didn't find out very soon ahead of that. I know in AEW, if there's an option and they're not picking it up, they got to tell you within 30 days of that contract being up. Ricochet, that was just him not re-signing. I've not heard anybody having any issue about that at all. Taking into account that the next edition is approaching, was there any discomfort among AEW wrestlers for not being involved in All In last year? Miro pushed to be on the show, which is why they had the contract signing and stuff like that. But, everybody wants on the show. But, of course, there are some people that want to be able to work Wembley. It's important. Is Ricky Starks going to WWE as a Samoan to side with Roman? That's a good question. That's a fun one. No, he's not. Any confirmation to the main event, like last match of Money in the Bank? It was being discussed as Damian Priest versus Seth Rollins. And I believe that the discussion around that was they wanted the looming possibility of a cash-in over that match. Who would you say are the five most influential people in wrestling today? In no particular order, I would say Nick Khan, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Tony Khan, and Hiroshi Tanahashi. Is Dijak going to debut in AEW? I've not heard anything like that at all. Alyssa says NWA has been announcing talent signing exclusive contracts, but a lot of those talents are still working indie dates. Is the exclusivity just towards working big companies like WWE, AEW? Yes, it is. They do not get paid enough to be completely exclusive, unfortunately. I wish that they would, but that's not the position that they're in. Jason Miller says in Meltzer's interview with Tony Khan, Tony totally downplayed the week with the 500K rating for Dynamite. Was there more concern internally at AEW than he let on? Not among him and officials. I know that's hard for a lot of people that don't like AEW to believe, but they fully believed it was as a result of the Big Bang Theory lead-in, which I personally think you shouldn't be that worried about a Big Bang Theory lead-in because that shouldn't be what you rely on. And it isn't really what they rely on, but obviously it's a big lead-in. WBD was like, man, LOL, go outside, nerds. We're working on a deal here. They weren't worried at all, at least on the surface, which it's probably the job of the people that talk to me from WBD to not be worried on the surface. You know what I mean? But that was their explanation for it. You can choose to buy it or not buy it. I don't think that you should need to rely on the Big Bang Theory, but that was their reason. Anything new on AEW media talks? Because WBD has been signing for a lot of sports deals lately. Well, okay. This is just a wild theory, but if you go to my Twitter, you saw a thing that I posted today where the Daily Mail covered the White Party in the Hamptons. And, you know, lots of celebrities and very important people are there, and among them were Ari Emanuel, Mark Shapiro, and Nick Khan that were at that. I'll tell you who else was there. David Zaslav, Tony, and Shad Khan. We're getting close, I think, to a deal being announced. I'm not going to say imminently or anything like that, but we're getting closer. Do you happen to know what some of the local governments are paying WWE to have PLEs in their cities? Indianapolis, Las Vegas, etc. Don't know about Las Vegas. Usually that emerges because WWE is happy for that information to get out because it's good for stockholders. If WWE can get paid to go to stuff, then that's very, very good for WWE. It's not like a dirty thing to them. They're like, hell yeah, people want us to come there. Matthew says, in the Ospreay Swerve story, you talked about how Will was proving a point about how it needed to be a team effort. Are there people who are refusing to put Swerve over, or am I reading too much into this? I don't know if you're reading too much into it. I think it's an element of really putting anybody over in any situation. Will Ospreay knew he could afford to lose because he's good enough to stay over. Now, I do think that there were some elements of that that could have been true, but I don't know that there was anybody individually, at least not singled out to me, that was like, nope, not going to put over Swerve or anything like that. Because, I mean, that is a part of, it's a part of making a champion, and people can say, oh, well, they shouldn't, yeah, they should need that. It is a team effort to do that. You do make the champion seem as credible as possible when he needs to seem as credible as possible. Purely speculating here, who's the biggest star currently under WWE contract you see jumping to AEW? Unless you actually have knowledge, just who do you think it might be? I don't see a lot of jumps right now. I really don't. Like, I think that WWE is in a very good position. They're going to offer people really good money in order to stay. Maybe like an AJ Styles, if his deal is coming up, but he seemed like he's wanted to stay with WWE as well. I'm looking up and down the list of names, and it's tough, man. It's so much tougher than it was a few years ago. It's not Cody. Like, I would say Cody just because of the history. I don't think Cody's doing that. Cody's got it made. He's set over there. Maybe Asuka to like do an end of her career run. Maybe. Do you think with the extra week between shows, AEW will have a better plan and card going into All Out this year? Yes. Infinitely better. I'm so glad that they're doing this. So glad. B says, were you made aware of the Britt Baker condition, but kept it private as it was personal information, or was it kept completely quiet from everyone? I did know. I didn't know the specific diagnosis. I heard there was something related or similar to a stroke, among other things, and that's her business. That's not my business to put out there. You could argue that none of this, like contracts or anything, is my business, but I draw the line at stuff like that, and that is her story to tell. John said, can Fightful organize a dunk tank or bowling game with Fightful podcasters like Grapsity the week of Mania 41? I would gladly pay for admission. So there have been a couple of times where some things like that have been planned or possibly brought up. Jimmy has brought up the idea of doing a meetup a number of times, and he had been like, oh, we can do a paid thing, yada, yada. I mean, I don't like making people pay I don't make anybody do it, but I don't like people paying for our scoops, but it changed our lives. It gave us the ability to pay our staff. So that's why I've left it at $5, because I'm like, man, I don't want to make people pay for another thing, especially like to meet us, say hi to us. To me, that's not a part of the thing, right? Like, it's just, you see us, you say hi, we'll talk to you, whatever. We did a meetup in Greensboro right before the AEW Revolution pay-per-view. That was cool. I attached my name to an indie show that got canceled because of the pandemic, WrestleMania weekend, and I'll never do that again because I just don't want that, and everybody was hitting me up to get booked. I don't want to do something like that and end up as the lonely Virgil meme. I'll give you a good example. There are conventions that'll be like, hey, do you want a table and sell autographs? And what they'll do is they'll ask us to promote it, and then we'll be able to sell autographs, pictures for free. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that, because first off, who the fuck would want my autograph? Second off, if somebody wants a picture, they can just get a picture with me. But I want a table so I can do interviews with talent. That's it. But I can't imagine charging anybody for that. So I can't imagine us setting something like that up. Maybe if something blows up with Fightful and we just go into the stratosphere, we'll consider doing that. But yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. Who would be Liv's next opponent if Rhea can't go at SummerSlam? Will they need to bring back Becky or Charlotte early? They can't just bring back Charlotte early. She's got a very, very serious set of knee injuries. I don't know if they'll have the ability to bring Becky back early. Rhea is the one I'm looking at, but I don't know if she'll be ready. They need to build up a contender. They really, really need to build up a contender, and they have not done that. Challenge Mania says, shouldn't it be noted that this is the first time that a really active wrestling war has taken place between two companies in the age of social media and the ability to watch clips, comment on them, and share them and crap all over them without actually having to watch a show and contribute to the rating? If you add up all the people who watch AEW clips and social media and reposted them each week just to hate on them, I promise you over 1 to 2 million people are watching the product in terms of how aware they are. Yeah, but I mean, the same can happen with WWE as well. There's a lot of people that watch via clips and YouTube and stuff like that, but these numbers are the numbers that are used by advertisers. That's what they're most important for, as opposed to anything else. Any idea on Joe Hendry's contract expiration? No time soon. Will you be at TNA Emergence in August? Missed you at the Newport tapings. I will not be. That is on my birthday. Do you think the new AEW deal could have a part in some career retrospective docs? I'd love to get some docs with the talent talking, making their careers and the big matches and all that. Yeah, I think there could be some of that as well. But I think that's what's missing out of AEW. I think they should utilize some stories like that. I think it'd be cool. Have you heard of Maven will be a guest on Hey EW like he claimed a while back? Who claimed it, Maven or RJ? RJ, it's the type of thing he'd just say as a joke. But yeah. Do creatives in a booking meeting proactively go, we are slating a match to be the bathroom break for the show? No, absolutely not ever. They know where some of those spots sometimes lie, but they never bring that in. Seems Hangman, Swerve, MJF, Ospreay are the most logical matches. Who do you think faces Bryan Danielson? I think it's going to be Swerve. That's what I think. Any word if the Acclaimed are getting split up? I mean, they're playing for blood and guts right now. What's the likelihood for AJ Lee being involved? Not heard anything like that. After seeing the WrestleMania doc, what are the key takeaways that shocked or raised your eyebrows? It was confirmation for me because there was a lot of the stuff that we had reported, like Cody being told the week of Royal Rumble, and it happened in such a way I felt like there, of all the things in wrestling that we've covered, and somebody goes, maybe it's an elaborate work. This was one where I was like, you know, maybe like 5 or 6 people are working me in unison. But as it turns out, no, it was just a wild situation, man. Have you heard of any larger promotions wanting to sign Effie full time? No. Why would they want to sign Effie full time? Listen, Effie's a smart guy. Effie's a very, very smart, brilliant guy, and I like Effie, but why would they sign somebody who I could beat up? And might. I still might beat up Effie. Like, I feel like I could. He's been talking some trash on Twitter. Maybe I show up and do it. Any further plans for Trish after Money in the Bank or just a one-off hosting gig? I believe a one-off hosting gig, but, you know, we're talking about the SummerSlam thing there. I wouldn't hate her being brought in to face Liv Morgan if they needed somebody. Wouldn't hate it. Either FTR hurt and little tag matches on the shows. Who do you see the Bucks working at all in? Ooh. Hopefully not the fucking Acclaimed. I am so done with that story already. I'm so done with it. But the tag team division is full of teams that just haven't been pushed. Just haven't been pushed at all. I wouldn't mind House of Black. But, man, so much potential there. And just not a lot of teams that have been pushed effectively. How much overrun are AEW allowed to use week to week? It's determined between AEW and WBD. Any Rhea Ripley updates? I had heard that there's a possibility, as we had reported, that she could appear on TV before SummerSlam if all goes well, but that's hardly confirmed. Doesn't Ricochet have a non-compete? Sorry if that's a stupid question, but I'm confused. When I read debuting soon, it meant 90 days. Sorry. No, so here's the deal. If WWE terminates your contract early, you get a 90-day non-compete. Now, what that is for WWE is you're getting paid your downside guarantee for those 90 days, and as a result, you can't appear anywhere else during that. If your contract just expires, they no longer have a contractual hold. So effectively, what the non-compete really is a termination notice of 90 days. He was not terminated. Would you expect the Von Erichs to be at the ROH bookings in Texas? Yeah, I would. I think that Tony has liked them. Yeah. If aliens came to Earth and you had to show them one match to explain what wrestling is, what match would you show? Probably Omega and Ospreay. Or Undertaker, Shawn Michaels. If there was a mixed tag team championship for any company, who do you think would make great teams and champions? Steph DeLander and Matt Cardona, because they run it nonstop. Rhea Ripley and Dominic Mysterio would be good because Dominic can take all the heat and then Rhea can fire up on everybody. Chances Daniel Garcia leaves AEW. There's always a chance. There's always a chance. With the inclusion of ROH at Wrestle Dynasty, are there plans for ROH to be more of an in-depth standalone show? That's the claim. We'll see, but that's the claim. After August, what are the PLEs after? So what they do is they, last year at least, they did a lot of international and ones that weren't in the 48 states, contiguous or whatever. And they, after SummerSlam, they started to do ones that are more in the Midwest and more in the landlocked states, so to speak. I think that's what they'll do again here. I think Bad Blood will happen. I think we'll see that. Will it be strange to cover a WWE PLE on Saturday night again? Yes. The only one since Rumble has been WrestleMania. So yes, it will be very weird. Don't know how I feel about it, but Weezy is joining me. Very excited for that. Guys, I want to thank you all so much. We got a lot going on this weekend. Heat Wave, Money in the Bank, Back for Raw, all that good stuff. Head over to our Discord. Just type in Discord in the search bar on our Patreon, and you'll be able to find those instructions. I do repost them here and there, but I have really enjoyed that. I mentioned this. After WrestleMania, I was going to scale back my Twitter use a lot, and unfortunately, some personal things happened. I took some time off, and then ended up going right back into using it a lot. Am going to make that more news-based moving forward, but I'll be over in Discord chatting with you guys. Until next time, we're out.